I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for the free kick with Atlanta United president Darren Eales. Brought to you by Associated Credit Union. Better than a bank and anyone can join on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Darren is here. We will continue our Julio Jones conversation, guys. If you're just joining us, you're going, what now? Huh? We'll be happy to play the soundbite for you. Hey, Darren, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
Good afternoon, chaps. Yeah, doing well, thank you.
Big win. Atlanta United against Philadelphia. But I just saw this, and I'm sure you are aware that Joseph Martinez, the MLS Player of the Week, with the hat trick.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible, isn't it? That was his fifth hat trick. And to put it in context, I mean, he set the record in MLS in only his 35th appearance, but he's only had 31 starts. So you think about that. He's practically scoring a hat-trick every six games, which is just unbelievable. It's just totally incredible. And, you know, fair play to him. He's just a lethal finisher.
And we saw that in the penalty kicks, and obviously a very bizarre start to the game. And we've had some scenarios. We think about the Vancouver game and how it worked out for us. This one was just kind of strange. Were you surprised it went down the way it did? There was a yellow card, then there was a combination of stepping inside the box and then some cuss words I guess you can't drop on an official.
No, and again, I think it's hard to speculate because I don't know exactly what the referee gave the second yellow card to Bedoya for, but you know he was blatantly standing in the area. And in, again, I think in this day of VAR, anything like that which is seeking to sort of delay the start to try and influence VAR is going to get frowned upon. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, that was sort of one thing, but then what happened after that with their number six, he just totally lost it. And, you know, you just can't have that behavior on a pitch. And to be fair to Jeff Lorenowitz, he did a lot of favors for the player because it looked like it was going to be something really nasty, whereas if he'd have actually hit the ref, obviously, that would have been something really serious. So they're down to two men. I'll give them credit. They played really well with nine men. I mean, nine men's a difficult one to play with at the best of times, but they put two men up front and they just sort of went for it up front. And I think that sort of put us on our back heels a little bit. Obviously, we got the win, but it wasn't, you know, Tata after the game, you know, it wasn't our greatest performance by any means. Mm-hmm. But at this stage of the season, you've got to get the wins. We're back at top of the table. We'd had a game since I saw you guys last on the Wednesday night that we totally dominated and somehow managed to only come away with a point. So, you know, at this stage, we'll take 4 points from those two games, be top of the table, and look forward to US Open Cup tomorrow and then a really tough game at Yankee Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, that was New England, the game that Darren's alluding to. And then obviously the game that we just watched with Philadelphia. Mike and I have gone back and forth on this. Just want to get your opinion on it. You know, it felt like we probably should have scored more goals. That's just me watching and going, you know, we had opportunities again, but is that accurate? Or as you just said, maybe we're not giving Philadelphia enough credit?
I think it's a bit of both. I think Philadelphia really did give it a go. And I think even our players would agree with this. I think, you know, psychologically, it's sometimes difficult. You're two men up, you sort of drop your intensity. And I think that's what happened, certainly in the first half. We weren't circulating the ball. We weren't really pressurizing them. We were leaving it to individuals. Second half was a lot better. We hit the bar a couple of times. You know, so we could have had more goals. But I think, you know, it is difficult from a psychological perspective when you're two men up so early on because, you know, the reality is you sort of take your foot off the gas a little bit. And that certainly happened. And we can't afford to do that clearly on Saturday at NYC because, you know, they're a team that's won every single game at Yankee Stadium. They're used to that, you know, very difficult playing area. And we were poor last year there. So we've got to try and sort of, you know, forget the past of last season and play a lot better.
And that's the thing we've been describing to the listeners, you know, and we try to use a basketball analogy because I'm trying, otherwise I'll get tangled in the language and butcher it. But we said in the half court, we seem like we're trying to find that finish, you know, whether it's Barco or Miggy or getting to Joseph, when we're in transition and Gressel's bringing the ball down the side and the service is fantastic. Is Philadelphia just parking people and that's what caused that sort of like, apologize the language, constipated offense at times?
Yeah, a little bit of that. I think it was a case of because when you've got nine men, there is no real pressure on the ball. Mm-hmm. We could circulate it at will, and that sort of lowers your intensity. I think that's where it has that psychological impact. It's almost like it's too easy, so you don't sort of step up to that 100% that you might be if it was 11v11. And look, I mean, not to overanalyze it too much because we still won the game comfortably.
Right.
We got the win that we needed. Joseph got his hat trick, which is obviously great for him. But I think, you know, we're going to have to obviously play at a higher level when we play on Saturday.
It's Darren Eales, guys, president of your Atlanta United FC. And that's the thing. We're so spoiled, Darren. You know, between the 7-0 game last year and all the offense, we're just nine guys. Oh, we're gonna pace these dudes. Same thing in New England, where hats off, by the way, to Friedel, who has a pretty good goalie for him, the Revolution, made some amazing saves in that match.
Yeah, I mean, that was a much better performance. I was really pleased with the way the team created the chances. So you ideally want to finish those chances, but the most important thing is you're creating chances. But, you know, we play that game 10 times, we win it 9 out of 10. And, again, I don't want to hammer the referees because it was a difficult decision and there was some contact. But, you know, another day you perhaps don't get that penalty decision against you.
Right.
So it was one of those where once we missed the sort of seventh chance, you almost knew that that was going to happen. It's just, you know, it was one of those games. But again, I think it shows how far we've come, because this was a game where we went home really disappointed against a decent New England team on the road that we didn't win the match. And I think that speaks volumes for the team this year, because I spoke about it on at the game on Saturday. There was almost a sense of negativity around the results we'd had in the last four games. And we're scoring, you know, 2 points a game, which would put us on, at the moment, we're sort of going to be one of the best teams ever in the history of the league if we finish at that ratio. So I think it's credit that we've sort of stepped up our game, but now we've got to keep that going. We're only a third of the way through the season.
I want to remind you guys to follow Darren. If you don't on Twitter, he's an entertaining follow. And certainly when it comes to soccer and our team, he's a fun follow. So check him out, man, if you've not done that. And don't complain to him. By the way, he said complain to Carlos Bocanegra if you want to complain. Atlanta United, we kick off the U.S. Open Cup. What is this? What's our 11 going to look like? Because Mike and I were talking about this yesterday with starters and
international rules. Can't have all the international.
What's the complexity of what the 11 is going to look like?
Well, we're really excited about the game tomorrow. It's a different competition for us, and it's a chance to firstly win a trophy, which is what soccer's all about. So we want to give it a go. We want to try and bring a trophy home to our fans. The other thing is that, from our perspective, it gets us into Champions League. So if you win it, it's a ticket into the big dance. So we want to try and do that. Who, you know, your guess is as good as mine for the 11. You know, Tata's playing his cards close to his chest. Mm-hmm. So the difference from a regular game is we have five international spots. So that's three less than we have for an MLS game. And clearly there'll be an element where we want to play some of the fringe players, give them some playing time and rest some of our key starters. Mm-hmm. But I think you're going to see a strong team out there, because, you know, Tata's no different from the rest of the club. You know, we're pretty clear that this is a possible opportunity for a trophy. We know it's a tough game. Charleston, you know, we know them better than probably any other USL team. They're going to make it difficult for us. We know they've got some good players. We know they're going to be good on set pieces. And this is a classic banana skin where if we're not 100% up for it, we're going to fall on our faces. So we've got to make sure that the attitude's right. And look, they were in training today, seemed focused, seemed like, you know, the lads are up for it. So I'm pretty excited. We've got a sellout crowd again, which is amazing. Our fans just keep blowing me away.
Right.
I thought that perhaps this could be a game where we played them last year. People might be tired of it, but no, they've sold the stadium out. And it's a lovely little stadium for us. It'll be a great atmosphere. Hopefully we're not going to get the lightning delay. So, you know, we're all set for what could be a cracking evening.
It's up at Kennesaw State, guys, at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. That's what Darren's alluding to. And maybe our buddy Romario Williams, Andrew Carlton, see a chance for some of those guys to get on the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got all of those. One, I thought Brandon Vasquez, when he came on, looked sharp in the game on the weekend, so he may have a chance to play. But, you know, the big players are also going to be in the squad as well, so it'll just be up to Tata to decide how he wants to play it.
What are you going to do with the trade deadline? You got any plans?
Well, we open, so the window for us, we have a month in July. So it opens in July. We have a month where we can bring some players in. And I've mentioned this before, we always are looking to improve the squad. So, you know, we have a spare roster spot, so we have a chance to bring a player in. And that's certainly something we'll be looking to do.
Who's the best team you've seen, Darren? Is it Sporting KC? Is it the Red Bulls so far?
NYCFC for me. When they came to our stadium and they played a sort of toe-to-toe, I thought that's the best match that I've seen in Major League Soccer really ever in my time in watching it, in terms of quality. I think, you know, KC are a good and committed team, but they had the breaks of, you know, what we spoke about before with some of the decisions there. I think Red Bulls are good. They press well, but they're a little bit inconsistent. I think NYC are going to be the rivals for us as we get towards the end of the season.
And that was the game, as Darren Eales joins us, president of Atlanta United FC, live in studio. That was the game that had the playoff atmosphere, the NYCFC game.
Yeah, I just think, you know, with the managers as well, you've got Patrick Vieira, who's a legend from his time as a playing career, a really good coach as well, against Tata Martino. I just think it had all of the feel from right from the very top with the managers that this was a game of, you know, two of the sort of bigger teams in MLS.
We were talking about this a little bit off air with Darren, how exciting it is right now in the ATL, guys, as we get ready to wrap things up with Darren. But you know, our soccer team is playing well. We think they're a playoff team. There's still a lot of soccer to be played. But then, you know, you look down the road here and the Braves are playing well. And, you know, for us, this is going to be an interesting summer as we get back to fall and things start to play out, you know, in September for the Braves. And obviously, the regular season going into late September, early October for you guys.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. You think about it with the Braves as well because it's a young team, so I like the similarities. You know, mm-hmm. we've got a team that's a lot younger than the rest of the teams in MLS, and now the Braves are doing a similar thing with an exciting young team that's full of talent. So, you know, it's great for the city. We had the new coach of the Hawks at our game, who's a great guy. He came into the suite during the match, and, you know, so we're excited for the Hawks with their sort of draft pick and what might happen there as they rebuild. And obviously the Falcons, the only team in the NFC to get back-to-back mm-hmm. playoff appearances, and you know we're excited about what could happen there. So I think it's a great time to be in Atlanta, and you know what I love about it is this chance to show the rest of the America that Atlanta is a great sports city, and mm-hmm. you know all that nonsense that's written about it being a fickle sports town mm-hmm. is, you know, it's rubbish. And I think we're going to see that now as a place where, from a sports perspective, it'd be lovely if all the teams could start to. Mm-hmm. create some dynasties.
I love that New York Times article describing you as an affable attorney. Gary and by the way, they didn't get the city necessarily right, but they got the whole mindset and your mission statement
your
correct.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was impressive for us to get. You know, we got 2/3 of the front page of the New York Times. We had articles in the last week in Russia talking about it being the best atmosphere in soccer, they said, in the world. So what's been wow. incredible is that world sort of focus now on Atlanta United and the city of Atlanta. And that's the great thing is, you know, it's a story about the city. It's not about the soccer club. It's about the city and what a brilliant place it is to live and how people feel proud about it. And we're just fortunate to be sort of part of that vibe.
FIFA vote next week?
Yeah, big one for us. 13th of June.
What do you think?
Look, I mean, they did a technical report. So if you take that for what it's worth, it clearly scored the United North American bid way higher than Morocco's. Okay. So on that basis, you'd think that we'd get it. But of course, it's FIFA, so you never know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Carl, I mean, let's get real here. I don't put words in Darren's mouth, but I mean, there's. Would you rather be in Toronto, Atlanta, Mexico City, or would you, you know?
Yeah. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
Tangiers.
It's a no-brainer. Darren, thank you as always for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. Hey, let's have some fun tomorrow, U.S. Open Cup, and then again this weekend, guys. Saturday, it's NYCFC pregame at 12, kick at 12:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you.
Cheers, guys. Thanks a lot.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.